John 1, verses 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that made that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
John, in his opening of his gospel, talks about the light. And of course, he's referring to Jesus. And we've talked about this before, but light, of course, invades the darkness. And we saw last week how the darkness does not overcome the light, but also it doesn't grasp it. It doesn't understand the light. And so John continues on with these verses about this light that is the truth coming into the world. Of course, it's the incarnation. It's Jesus being born. And so what we know is we can't hide from the light. We can't hide from the truth. I mean, the truth is truth, right? 2 + 2 = 4. At least that's what I learned in school, and I think it still does, according to our math and according to what's going on, and continues to be taught. But there are things that are true, and we can't hide from that. We can ignore the truth and say, I don't even care. Or we can just flat out deny the truth, kind of like the flat earth believers. So anyway, we can't hide from the truth because it is there. We can ignore it, we can refuse to believe it, but still, the truth is there. And so John says, first of all, in verse 9, he says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, the word true here, it can mean like true compared to false. But really, the way the Greek word is here that John used, it's more of like the truth or the true light as the original, the genuine, compared to what is not genuine. In other words, it's kind of like this. When I work for the village, I usually carry around my multi-tool because it comes in handy. Of course, you know, you get pliers, and then in the handle you get a knife and a saw and different screwdrivers and a punch and even a can opener, that kind of thing. Well, once in a while when we're working, my boss Colin, he'll say, could I use your Leatherman? Well, here's a Leatherman. This is a high-end multi-tool. Yeah, they're expensive. Mine is not a Leatherman. It is a Leatherman knockoff. It's not the genuine Leatherman. It's a Stanley, which that's, you know, a well-known name, but still, it's cheaper than the Leatherman and folds up kind of hard, so maybe that's why, too, it's cheaper. Or I just need to kind of lube it. But anyway, that's what John is saying here. John is saying, Jesus, the true light, the genuine, this is the real light, the real thing. And anything else that comes along claiming to be light is just a knockoff from that. I mean, even the light bulbs that we use that actually emit light, they're not going to last. We know that light bulbs are burn out or just go bad if they're, you know, LCD lights, that kind of thing, or LED, that's right. So, LED. So, the real thing, it'll last forever because that's who Jesus is. And he, we know, is from the beginning, no beginning. I mean, there's no, he's just always been light. He'll always be light. So Jesus came into the world, born as a human from the Virgin, but he is the true light. And it says he enlightens everyone. His light, his truth, shines in the world for all to see. So how is it that the light of Jesus shines for all to see? Well, one way, of course, is the witness of creation that we've talked about a little bit before. The fact that in creation, what we see, there has to be an intelligence behind it. And that's one way that God reveals himself. And also just in the conscience of men, of humans, because people do tend to know, well, this is right and this is wrong. Now it gets warped because of sin, and you know that can go astray, but there is kind of a conscience that is put into us, especially when something happens to us and we go, well, that's not fair, it happened to me. And it doesn't really matter what your cultural situation is and what you've been taught, still it's kind of like, you know, why is this happening to me? That's not fair, that kind of thing. So that's kind of a conscience. We know that there is kind of a right and a wrong. But then there are also, of course, personal witnesses. And one witness that John, the gospel writer, lets us know about is John the Baptist. And he wrote, John the gospel writer wrote, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. And then this is important because at this time there were some people that were aware of John's ministry and knew of John's baptism, but had not yet heard about Jesus. In the book of Acts, we are introduced to that some of the apostles in their missionary journeys come across people who were aware of John the Baptist and his baptism, but weren't aware of the Messiah had actually come and died and buried and rose again. So John is writing just in case some of those people are reading his gospel, and he's saying, okay, John came along, yes, to bear witness to the light that was coming and has come now. We need to be aware John is not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And that's true of all of us. Jesus said to his disciples and to us, you are the light of the world. Nobody puts a light on a hill and then covers it with a basket. No, they put it on a hill, let it shine so that people can see it. And so Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Well, it's not really us. We're just a poor imitation of light. But when we follow Christ and his life is in us, his light, the truth of who Jesus is in us, that's what should shine in our life. That's what will come out and people will see and hear. And so it was important for John, the gospel writer, to say, John the Baptist, he had an important ministry, but he is not the light. He is not the Messiah. And we know that John himself even, of course, denied that. People came, and we'll look at this later, another week, but people came along and asked John the Baptist, are you the chosen one, the Messiah? No, I'm not. I just came to bear witness. But John was important. When Jesus talked about John the Baptist, he said, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So it's interesting. Jesus here saying, John and his ministry were certainly very, very important. But we're not going to set aside what every other believer is going to be doing. Because even the believers that it seems like they don't have a ministry as big and so on as John did, because lots of people came to where John was baptizing and they listened to him and they were baptized. I mean, we're told that a lot of people came out from the cities and the villages just to see and hear John, and a lot of them to be baptized by him. But Jesus here is saying, yet even what seems like the lowest disciple that hasn't done that much still has a great ministry because they have trust in Jesus and they're doing it for the sake of Jesus. So no matter what we can do and no matter how we witness, whether it's flamboyant and loud and people notice or whether it's just one-on-one, just one person at a time, it's all right. That is important, just as important as somebody that might talk to lots of people about Jesus. So it's important, no matter what we do, as long as we're doing it for Jesus, whether it's big or small, Jesus says it's great in heaven. You're building up treasure in heaven. So, again, that's why John wrote about John the Baptist. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. He came to testify about the light. Well, what exactly was John's testimony about Jesus the light? Well, in Matthew, we read, Matthew wrote a little more about John and actually what he was preaching and doing. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus then came along and actually started preaching the same thing. So John was testifying to the light by actually preaching, getting people used to hearing what Jesus was going to come along and say. You people need to repent because the light is here. The kingdom of God is here right now. And it's here for you. Will you repent of your selfish ways and begin to live within God's kingdom? But then also a part of John's message, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers.'" What a way to draw a crowd, right? When they show up, you call them a bunch of snakes. But he says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, what John was, what was going on here is basically what Jesus was going to do when he started his ministry, because Jesus also called the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders a bunch of snakes. So John was just once again saying, "This, get ready for Jesus. He's coming, and this is what you're going to hear. You better be ready for it." And of course, what both of them meant when they were calling these religious leaders a bunch of snakes, brood of vipers, he was saying, "You people have had the scriptures. You studied the scriptures. You know the scriptures. You should understand that you're depending on your religious traditions and just the offerings. You come and give an offering, and supposedly you're asking God to forgive your sins, but then you go right out and you take advantage of widows and orphans, and you're selfish. That's, I don't want those offerings. I want your heart. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." God, of course, wants in us real repentance. Well, then John writes about another witness. He writes now in his gospel about different witnesses and people witnessing about Jesus and so on. But really, one of the best witnesses about the light is Jesus. I mean, who better to witness to who he is than the person himself? So here comes Jesus, God, in our world, letting us see and know what God's heart is, what God's desire is, and what God's love is. That's what Jesus comes along to do. the true light which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John says, here it is. Jesus has come. He is the real thing. He is God himself. And we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention. Well, you know what? These witnesses demand a verdict. We have to make a decision. When we consider all the witness about God and about Jesus, we need to have a verdict. We need to have a decision. Now, John tells us about two different verdicts that people have to the truth of Jesus, the truth of the light. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Now, that verse, verse 10, the way it's written in the Greek, it's really saying the world as in the world, all the people in the world, and of course, all of creation was made by Jesus, but all of the people are here because of God, because of Jesus. And he comes in to this world amongst humans that he made, and they didn't know him. It's kind of like this. This is not a perfect illustration, but the light, you know, there could be 100 light bulbs in a room, and it does a blind person no good just because they can't see. Well, what I'm trying to get across there is the fact that sin has blinded us, our sin nature. And we can hear about Jesus, we can see Jesus, know Jesus, and yet just not get it. That's where, at the very beginning of the gospel, John wrote, the darkness doesn't understand it, doesn't get it. It doesn't see it. The darkness of sin just doesn't see. That's what Satan wants to do, is to blind us and make it so that we just don't see the truth that Jesus brings. Then in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Here, John is specifically saying, because there's a difference in the, when he talks about the world, that is it's in the neutral in language, you know. But then when it says he came to his own and his own people, that's in the masculine. And so John here is referring to a specific people, obviously the Jews, because Jesus was born of the Jews and grew up as a Jew. And he comes to these people that not only were created by God, but chosen by God to be his people. And now Jesus, the Messiah, comes as one of those people, his people, Jesus, or the Jews, and the Jews don't even receive him. They say, yeah, we kind of know the scriptures, but it doesn't make sense. Why would this person be the Messiah? He's from Galilee. It seems like the Messiah would have been born in Jerusalem, well, which he was, born pretty close to Jerusalem in Bethlehem. But whether they all knew that at the time or not, we don't know. But still, and he had these signs that he did, the miracles, and the teaching that he gave. And still, the Jewish people that had the scriptures and should have known, just, I'm not going to accept it. Not going to receive it. Well, the thing is, I'm missing a slide. Is it in there next? What's next? No. For some reason, it didn't make it into here. Anyway, the last verses, of course, are, yet to those who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. Not children born of the Spirit, of the flesh, not people born of, you know, human desire, that kind of thing, but people born of the Spirit. So John here says there's the one response to the truth: ignore it or just don't see it, or receive it. To those who received, who believed in his name. Well, what is it to receive? How do we receive Jesus? I mean, really, how do we? You think about this. I grew up a lot hearing, well, ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Jesus, you know, to be in your life, to be your leader, to be your Lord. But the thing is, Jesus is Lord anyway, whether I ask him to be my Lord or not. He's Lord anyway. And when you consider when the first disciples began to follow Jesus and learn from him, they didn't. There's only recorded at the beginning, there's only recorded one question that a couple of them asked Jesus. And that question was, where are you staying? You know, they didn't even say, yeah, come into our heart, Jesus, or be our Lord, Jesus. Where are you staying? And Jesus said, well, come and see. But then eventually, Jesus came along the lakeside with these fishermen. And instead of them asking anything or saying anything, Jesus said, come, follow me. And they left, literally, everything. They left their family, they left their business, they left their livelihood. They left the life that they knew there in Galilee, and they started following Jesus. A little later on, Jesus walks by a tax collector's booth and says to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew left his business, his livelihood. And not only that, but Matthew, of course, had a party with some of his fellow tax collectors and sinners and stood up and said right then, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay back. And then he followed Jesus. The disciples never once said, Jesus, be my Lord, please, come into my heart. Instead, what they did was actually respond to the call of Jesus. And Jesus, with wide open arms, says, you're welcome, I accept you. That's what he does with us. When we come to him and say, Lord, I've been a sinner, please forgive me, I want to follow you. And he's, yeah, you're welcome. And we think, well, that's more giving, us giving and Jesus receiving. But the thing is, once we give ourselves to Jesus, don't we receive quite a bit? We receive life, eternal life, communion with God. The chance to be his children, the right, in fact. You know, in the United States, we're all about rights. Well, I have rights. Well, the biggest, the most important right is when we follow Jesus, we're his children. We're adopted into his family. And that's an important thing. When a loving family says, for a child that is not theirs by birth, to say, you're one of ours now. That's what God does. You're one of mine. He gives that to us. And we receive it by giving ourselves to him. So more and more, I pray that we really, truly give all of ourselves to Jesus. You know, there's certain parts of me that it's, once in a while, it's like, well, Jesus, I'd rather do it this way. But then I have to stop and say, no, that Jesus wants me to do it His way. I can't hide that part of my life from Jesus. I can't hide it from the light, from the truth. I need to open up all my life to His truth and let Him take it. And then He gives me the life that I need. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You have come to us. You open up Your arms. You have given Yourself. And Lord, Your arms are open wide for when we give ourselves to You. You welcome us. You love us. You bring us into Your family. You give us Your truth and Your light. Lord, help us to share that with others in the way that You have made us. Even if it's little or if it's big, just help us, Lord, to share what You have given us. And that's how we can receive You, is by giving of ourselves and knowing that You give us Your love and Your life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Feel free to stand if you'd like.
Have Thine own way. That's giving ourselves to Jesus. Lord, You have Your way in my life. And the last line there, fill me with Your Spirit till all can see Christ only living in me. Go this week with Christ living in you and let Your light shine. Let His light shine. Amen.